You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated.
At what point does Hillary Clinton go away? You know, one, if you listen to All Marine Radio, one of the things that was amazing in that whole campaign, and that got pointed out by me, thank you very much, was no matter how bad he was, she could never get beyond like 45-41% on him. And that to me was astounding. It's like the crazy stuff that he says, the whole grab your pussy stuff, right? That, come on, that kills. What was the guy? Who's the Democrat? Dean? Howard Dean? He got two by a cackle. Right? And here's Donald Trump. I mean, he can't get out of his own way. And she can't get away from him. And I used to watch that number and think, what's the deal? There's no way that he can be that close. And then he'd shut up for a couple weeks. He'd talk a little policy, and then they'd come back and be even again. And you'd think, how can this be? Yet she will not let it go, man. So the question is, will she not let it go, or are the Clintons just such money whores that, you know, whether she wants to do this or not, she has to as her kind of her swan song, because it's a big payday, the book deal that she signed. So, you know, in the immortal words of Deep Throat in Watergate, follow the money. Right? You want to understand the Clintons? Follow the money. You want to understand the Clinton Foundation? Follow the money. You want to understand Hillary Clinton? Follow the money. You know what? You can take a pig and you can dress that pig up. You can put lipstick on it. Guess what you got at the end of the day? You still got a pig. Actually, you got a pig with lipstick on. And so, how she's fancied herself now to be a victim when the nation passed judgment on her. Think about that. The nation that elected Barack Obama would not elect a former First Lady, a former United States Senator, a former Secretary of State. And instead, the people that elected Barack Obama twice elected Donald Trump. That's pretty stunning. Think about that. Any way you slice that, it's incredibly stunning. And the missteps of the Democratic Party, pretty crazy. Now, how Bernie Sanders would have run against Donald Trump, good question. The polling suggested that he was a stronger candidate against Trump than Hillary Clinton was. And he pointed that out. Look at the poll numbers. I'm beating him 60 to 40. She's even with him. He said that. But anyway, she's just in the news again with the different comments out of her book and things like that. So, again, I want to, I'll do it right now. I'll do it right now. I'm not that tied to the schedule of the program. We're going to listen to Steve Bannon today. I got a little audio from John McCain, too, talking about naval readiness. There's a report out dare I call it naval readiness of the McCain and the Fitzgerald. But I don't think those reports have a lot to do with what happened. Yeah, that's my take on it. Okay. What happened, when you think about four different incidents, and, I'll play McCain's comments, but think about four different instances in 8 months. No, less than eight. Hold on. On January 31st, 2017, the USS Antietam, a guided missile cruiser, at 10:15 local time, runs aground in Tokyo Bay as it attempts to adjust its anchoring moorage that it missed by 250 something yards. On May 9th, so let's see, February, March, April, May. So only 90 days later, maybe 100 days later, the USS Lake Champlain, a cruiser, at noon, bumps into a Korean fishing vessel off the Korean coast. At noon. On June 17th, okay, so now you're talking about, this is the third event in February, March, April, May, June. In 4.5 months, the third event, the USS Fitzgerald is hit at 01:30 in the morning east of Japan. All right, the Fitzgerald's a destroyer. On August 20th, the USS McCain at sometime between, it's estimated around 06:24 local time in the Moluccan Straits, is hit by an oil tanker that's driving straight and true through the through the Moluccan Straits. Now, readiness is one thing, but I would tell you we're not talking about readiness here. You're talking about discipline. Because as the vice CNO said last week, there's no excuse for this. This is seamanship 101. This is akin to Marines. What would be a basic one of the most basic things a Marine infantry unit would do. Set its own security, guys asleep on post, somebody drives up, shoots, kills people, explodes a bomb, right? And we could talk about training and readiness. Bottom line is that's a discipline issue in that unit. You're on post, you have a job. Corporal of the guard, right? Whoever the squad leader is, whose squad's supposed to be awake at that time, it's his job to get out there and make sure that they're awake, make sure they're doing what they're doing. That's discipline. That's 101. So what's amazing, though, is, when you consider it, so February, March, April, May, June, July, August, 7 months, if it was to the end of August, it's August. So in 6 months, 6 2/3 months, you have four different collisions done by the Navy, and resulting in 17 deaths. So you'll hear John McCain talk about that, and then there's some breaking news out today. I want you to also, Hurricane Irma continues to spin. I want you to also just watch the way the news covers this now. Irma is not what it turns out. Irma is less. than it appeared to be. Now, there's certainly areas that are going to be devastated, but the story I would tell you is a good news story. Now, the media doesn't like good news stories. It's not, they're not sexy. And the story down in Florida is, for instance, you have an aircraft carrier off the Florida Keys, activated in time, moved in time, and positioned now to begin to be the hub of both rescue operations, logistic operations for whatever period of time they need it. Right, so they drove the ship down there, and so the governor, high marks, and to me, with the exception of certain areas, you know, that's, but watch the way the media, watch the way the Situation Room operates, although I don't watch that station anymore. Watch, you know, it has to be a compelling story, and then what you're going to get to is this, the same thing we saw in Houston. The people that have insurance will be okay. The people that don't have insurance will be forced to take on debt. The people that live paycheck to paycheck will be forced to leave, go other places. Now, hopefully they'll have family in the region, and they'll be able to do that. So that's what you'll see. But watch the way the story is told. That's not a, you know, this needs to be a bigger story. I don't want to say it's not a story, but you know how we like to do, you know how we like to do it. We like to do it big. We like to do it complicated with great drama. And you have, when the anchors head towards an area, you know what that's going to be. So keep your eye on that. I find it, it's the theatrics of the news business. Again, Wolf Blitzer, Situation Room. Breathless. I tell people, if a combat operations center was as breathless as the Situation Room, you couldn't stay in there for a day. You'd die. You'd kill over. Anyway, so what are we going to do today? We're going to listen to Steve Bannon. And, so get ready to send an email. And with your comments, I want to be fair to Mr. Bannon. I don't like him. I don't like the way he looks. He looks like a creep to me. But I'm old enough. I'll get over that. He can shave, clean himself up. But yeah, he looks kind of creepy to me. And he's a media guy, which immediately makes him suspect. Even though I'm a media guy now. So Bannon has made his fame ruining people in the media. Now, other people say, "No, Mac, he's a conservative guy." And okay, got it. So we'll listen to him, and we'll be fair to him. And what are the things that he has said? And one of the things I heard him quoted as saying is that if the whole Dreamer thing is not taken care of, in 6 months, we're going to have a civil war. Now, that's attributed to him. I'm going to listen to this with you the first time. And so, if he said that, I don't think he's right. But it is going to be a huge issue. And so, to me, what the president has set up for himself is he's going to listen. And then he will act in his executive capacity to rescue them. Mark my words. If Congress will not act and do the right thing, if they're incapable of it, the president will act in their absence. Yep. Perfect, right? He keeps campaign promise, throws the charcoal in their lap, and says, "Let's go, boys and girls, get this done." And after that, what happens? They don't do it. And what does he do? He steps in as a compassionate president. And he says, in their absence, here's what I'm going to do. I call on them to, I'm going to extend it or modify it or do this or do that, and I call on Congress to deal with this. And he further increases his position as an independent, populist president. Going to be interesting, because that in itself is historic. All right, the so we'll listen to that today. So it ought to be amusing. The Gunner is going to join us. Now, Grant Newsham, not going to be able to join us today. He'll join us tomorrow. And we'll take a look at the UN sanctions. In the brief conversation I had with him, his admonishment, do not be fooled. Okay? The UN says a lot of stuff, rarely gets any traction. What is the enforcement mechanism? We're already hearing that whatever action China takes, the Russian black market will step in and supplant. That's got to make us all feel good, right? So net effect, zero. They sidestep it. Can you blame Putin for that? Of course not. He would never accept blame for that. So there you go. How do you get at North Korea? Can you do it through China? All right. And the effectiveness of UN sanctions. Now, the upside of the UN sanctions is you got everybody to support something. And as this stance progresses, it's interesting. I know two girls that play on the women's Olympic hockey team. They're twins, Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux. When we moved to North Dakota, Patrick was seven. And so he started playing mite hockey. And who's on the team? Two girls, Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux. They were two of the best players on the team. And this was, it's the best youth team I've ever seen in my life. All the kids could play. Most of them had fathers that had played and good, and the dads were good guys. They weren't idiots. And the kids passed. The kids on the ride home, you could tell the kids got schooled on how to play. And they moved the puck and they could play. And it was the most unselfish bunch of kids. But, out of this, you know, I wind up, and at some point, coaching Monique and Jocelyn. And they're phenomenal athletes to begin with. But now this will be their third Olympics. They've played on the U.S. Women's National Team for, I can't remember how many years. Eight, maybe? Seven? Something like that. Seven or eight. And they've had an incredible run. They were actually down in Tampa as this thing went through. And so in the course of asking, hey, how you doing? And Jocelyn said, you got any advice? Have you been through one of these? And I said, well, I went through one at sea, and then I went through one in Okinawa. I said, yeah, find an electrical outlet that's going to work. I said, once the power goes down, if you're near one of those that you know is going to work, or a generator, it's worth money. You could sell it. Or you could just keep your phone charged. And she laughed. And so she said, do you think this stuff with North Korea will continue through the Olympics? I said, count on it. I said, I'd like to tell you something different, but the Olympics, right? The Olympics, is he going to pass that opportunity up? The world stage? So she said, she texted back, ugh, thank you. I said, no problem. Anyway, yeah. The 2018 Olympic Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. So I said, yeah, do you think that he, in the orchestration and choreography of all this, do you think that guy is going to miss the opportunity to, in some way, shape, or form, use the spotlight that will be cast on South Korea for his own use? Answer, probably not. He's like, I said, yeah, exactly. 149 days ago to the Olympics. So there you have it. All right. To make this official, the United States Marine Corps Band plays the national anthem. Good morning to you. Motivation today. Hit it.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Mostly cloudy and 70 in Quantico. I don't really consider us towards fall until after the 20th of September. So we got 8 days to go. Essentially a week. But cloudy and 70 in Quantico. Cloudy 76 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny 65 in Granbury, Texas. Sunny and 59 in Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms is sunny and 78. Camp Pendleton, mostly cloudy 65. Pretty normal. Okinawa, still warm there. Mostly cloudy, dark, and 85 degrees. In Syria, it's 101 degrees under sunny skies. And in Marja, cooled off a little bit. It is clear, dark, and 91 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, 67, on our way to 80 degrees. Yeah, much better. We're going to chill out back in the 70s where we belong. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about naval readiness. Talk about that. And then we're going to give Steve Bannon his trial. So get your keyboard ready and get ready to make your comment. I will take all comments about Steve Bannon as we judge him. And so the way we'll judge him is this. Ultimately, is Banyan a douchebag or not? Okay. So that'll be the, and that's with apologies to all douchebags out there. But Banyan's going to be judged today. So, but I'm curious. He's not a stupid guy. He's a partisan guy. And that's how he's made his money. So, well, John McCain called him a failed screenwriter. So we'll listen to what he has to say, and we'll have a discussion about it. Right? The good, the bad, the ugly. So, anyway. Email, follow the money. And other than some great reporting on the Clintons getting in some lucrative contracts after the earthquake in Hawaii, including a European cell phone company, nobody has peeled back the layers on the Clinton Foundation. Seems like that is a Pulitzer Prize waiting to happen. Just yesterday I read about a Wall Street Journal reporter that had been working on a story documenting Hillary's ties to a Russian drug company. The reporter's name is Joseph Rago. Unfortunately, we will never read it because in July, the 34-year-old was found dead in his New York City apartment with no visible signs of trauma. By the way, it's Bannon, like Cannon. It's not Banyan. Double N is Y. That's in Spanish, anyway. No, that's the N with a tilde over that. Bannon, like Cannon. Pfft, he doesn't strike me as very Cannon-esque. And besides, Cannon, that guy was a TV guy. What was his name? He's a big, stocky, sweaty, husky guy. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about naval readiness, some new developments in that story. And we'll also, and again, I have to compliment the Navy. I think, I don't know if they have a playbook, but they're taking the Commandant's tack. Take your face shots. Take responsibility. Don't make any excuses. Not a one. And I was encouraged by what I read last week from the vice CNO of the Navy. There's no excuse for it. Because, again, any of us who've ever gone to sea and know what it is, there's absolutely, it's just to me still astounding. A cruiser bumps into a ship in the middle of the day in fair weather? That's impossible. It doesn't happen. So, anyway. We're going to talk about it. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. All Marine Radio with you. What's up? More of that great program after this. You know, somebody sent me an email and said, Mac, did you really win a Marconi Award? Yes! I won a Marconi Award that's given out by the National Association of Broadcasters. Yeah. Small Market Personality of the Year. Flew my family to Charlotte, North Carolina. Glenn Beck's the master of ceremonies. Sean Hannity there. All these big timers are there. Small Market Personality of the Year, Mike McNamara. And you know how much I hate the Red Sox? I get up and I said, first of all, before I say thank you, are there any Red Sox fans out here? And all these people are like, woo! All these people from Boston, woo! I said, you suck. And the place loved it. And I told them, I actually told them, you're missing a great story in Iraq and Afghanistan. You need to go spend time there. You need to cover it. You need to tell the truth. You're missing it. The truth is we don't have enough guys fighting in either place. Get out there and tell the truth. Thank you very much. Walked off the stage. Boom, dropped the mic. Glenn Beck. He walks back up. He goes, who was that guy? Yeah, Beck. He's about a clown, eh? All right, more of All Marine Radio. On Tuesday, the 12th of September. My youngest sister's birthday today. How about that? All right. More on the United States Navy coming up next.
Boom. All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. music from the heartland. You'll see if you follow the they were beginning to bury the sailors who were killed in the McCain incident. So if you follow the news on a daily basis, you'll begin to see those funerals take place around the country. Ohio man chimes in. Bannon was a Navy SWO, surface warfare officer. He probably is good with a 5-inch cannon, not to mention ship handling. I don't know. Well, you know, obviously, I mean, his name isn't associated, so he was good enough. The Black Shoe Navy used to be, I mean, it used to be the rough, tough part of the Navy. But again, the Navy, again, this is not about ships and money. This is about a disciplined work environment. And when you civilianize the DOD, when you spend more time on sexual harassment and sexual assault training, than you do on what you do, you have to ask yourself. And here's the problem with all that. And let me just give you the Marine Corps problem. When you turn over 60% of the force every 3 years, think about that. 60% of the force turns over. You're always going to have to be doing that. Okay, so how much time do we devote to it? How do we do it? And that it doesn't take away from our core competency. Where is that balance point? In my opinion, the Navy lost its way. And they'll get back there, but I am, again, my opinion, the Navy skewed too far in the wrong direction. And maybe it's because the service Navy didn't participate in too much of the war, and what little parts they participated in, they didn't do well. They've repeatedly, right? Some will call it restraint. I wouldn't. They have a responsibility. They have a responsibility and a duty to defend their ships. And if you have to sink an Iranian ship because of it, so be it. Right? When they were when on that patrol that got, you know, that got captured, they didn't behave well. They didn't do the things that they were supposed to do. So anyway. So they've got some hard, and the SEALs, man, everything the SEALs do is in the media. When was the last time you saw the story about Delta Force? You simply don't see it. They take incredible pride in not being the marquee story like the SEALs do. Yeah, they take incredible pride in being professional. And they laugh at the SEALs. It's like, dude, they'll do it, and it'll be in the newspaper. It'll be all over the place. So, anyway, not to pick on the Navy, but this stuff's been coming for a long time. All right, so before you hear John McCain talk about the Navy, let me just read you a story. This is out of CNN Wire story out today. Navy ships in deadly collisions had dismal training records. Now, what does that mean? Because, again, my own opinion, this is not a training issue. It's a discipline issue. You're talking about the most basic seamanship skills. Okay? Prosecuting the surface plot. Navigating the ship. Seamanship 101. All right. The article says this. Two U.S. Navy destroyers involved in a deadly collision in the Pacific this summer, both had lengthy records of failure to fulfill key training requirements, according to the Government Accountability Office data provided to Congress and obtained by CNN. But, you know, these are big bullshit items. Nah, maybe they're not bullshit, but they're going to be big deal. They didn't do this, they didn't do that. That has nothing to do with the day-to-day discipline that goes on. All right, but anyway, we'll go down this rabbit hole. The USS Fitzgerald had expired training certifications for 10 out of 10 key warfare missionaries in June. Expired. It didn't say they failed. It said they were expired. And the USS John McCain let its certification lapse in 6 out of the 10 mission areas, the data shows. The dismal training record. All right, we're not talking about failure. We're talking about time lapse. Of the two ships sheds new light on one factor that may have contributed to the two collisions with commercial ships in June and August, which killed 17. The training records of the McCain and Fitzgerald were worse than the average warship in the Pacific, but they weren't the only ones with training problems. GAO's testimony released last week revealed that expired training certifications for the Navy, 11 cruisers and destroyers based in Japan had skyrocketed fivefold from 7% in January of 2015 to 37% in June. Two-thirds of the certification had been expired for at least 5 months. The destroyer accidents, okay, along with two other incidents, a cruiser collision, the USS Champlain, and the Antietam running aground, prompted the dismissal of the 7th Fleet CO. So anyway, so that's the study. Again, the article talks about the administration part of papering, right? Of papering your training. So because of operational tempo, you may not be able to do that. You may not be able to bring the people on. I don't know how the Navy certifies, but when the Marine Corps gets you ready to deploy, you go out to 29 Palms, you do this stuff. I mean, let's just say something happened and you couldn't do that. Well, you're so locked in to all these different events that with schedules, for you to redo that, it's not easy. And so if deploying is making you unable to do that, how do you carve out the time based on all these other things that you've had to schedule more than a year in advance to go back and do that? That's an issue. It might be more, if appropriately footnoted, it might be more appropriately attributed to op tempo and not being able to get there to do that those things. Because again, this is, and I'll give you a Marine Corps perspective on this. One of the issues we have in the United States military is the inability to say no. We do more. Every mobile training team, every country that wants to come to train with us here in the United States, we accommodate. Just about any time, a series of nations get together and want to hold exercises, we participate. We have shrunk the force. We have shrunk the Navy. So what does that mean? It means the thing is tight and it goes fast. Yeah, like that. Not. Yeah, that's the op tempo. And I didn't get a look at it until, honestly, my view of the Marine Corps was in regiments and battalion. And then I went to the MEF, where I saw the things that the MEF dealt with, because part of MEF headquarters group is, so it's the MEF headquarters regiment, if you will. So it supports the MEF. Anyway, MAC, Intel Battalion, Radio Battalion, I'm sorry, yeah, Radio Battalion, 9th Com, Law Enforcement Battalion, the MPs, all got put into there, and the Force Recon Company, and Anglico. Force Recon migrates, but and Anglico, those are the elements that support the MAC. When you live in that area, what you see is every task that comes to the MEP, because COM supports everything, right? And you look at the op tempo of the communicators, and you're like, wow, I had no idea they did that. It's incredible. COM and Intel guys are always, because you got to have a piece of that stuff. You know, Anglico, right, Raider Battalion, and law enforcement might not go to everything, but Intel and COM goes everywhere. And you look at all the different requirements, and you're just like, holy smokes. My point of saying that is to say this. We don't say no. And so as we decrease the Navy, op tempo is a big deal. But don't confuse op tempo with the discipline that you have as a force. And so I think what you're seeing is the Navy's got a series of issues. They've got a discipline issue in the force, which is why these incidents occur. And, oh, by the way, they are getting pushed. But it's no excuse for the things that have happened, if all that makes sense. The USS Fitzgerald had let its training certifications expire for all these areas. And the areas include air warfare, ballistic missile defense, electronic warfare, fire support, cruise missiles, and more. Doesn't say anything, although I mentioned one of the functioning skills is driving the ship, but they don't list that, which is an error on the part of the writer. The Navy's preliminary findings in the Fitzgerald investigation found the crew failed to understand and acknowledge the cargo ship was approaching and failed to take any action necessary to avoid that collision. How is that possible? How is that possible? All right. It's only possible if people are asleep, people are not paying attention to radar screens. So, I mean, that's the only way it's possible. The U.S. McCain's training record was better than the U.S. Fitzgerald's. Again, these are the training certificates, but has nothing to do with the discipline. But the ship was still overdue on a majority of its training certifications. A source familiar with the training data told CNN that other ships in the Pacific have poor training records. Well, the question is why? Why? And the discussion about the McCain goes on. The ship's basic certifications were better, Pendleton said, but he noted that seamanship stood out as a problem. So anyway, so that's the news. Here's what John McCain had to say about it. He's interviewed by Jake Tapper on CNN. What is it? Reliable Sources, something like that. So here you have John McCain. Let me get rid of Jackson Brown. All right, John McCain.
Let's talk about this issue of ready.
Jake Tapper.
Because, as you noted, four Navy ships collided with other vessels this year. It's cost 17 sailors their lives. You're a Navy
yep.
man.
Yep.
One of the ships that crashed, obviously, the USS John S. McCain, is a destroyer. I believe it's named after your father and your grandfather.
Yes, yes.
Your John
S.
became
the third.
That
up. I've had so
well, people think
that
the ship's named after you.
Ship.
Usually, yeah. No, it's but you are John S. McCain the third.
Yep.
Why is this happening?
It's happened because we have not funded. Whenever you cut defense, the first thing that goes is the ones that are easy to cut. Training, readiness, maintenance, those things, they just, you know, if you cancel a ship, then you alienate a certain amount of people who are sponsors of that project. So the first thing that goes is readiness and training. And readiness and training has gone down and down and down. So that they, and they are deploying with fewer, let's talk about the Navy, with fewer ships at greater rapidity of exercising, which then cuts down on training, cuts down on readiness, etc. And the answer is inevitable. And by the way, our service chiefs have been warning about us about this for several years. This is the product of the last 8 years, not the product of this year. So I appreciate the president's commitment, but we have got to spend more money on defense, giving. We're in the most turbulent world that we've been in the last 70 years. I don't want to make a lecture, but at the end of World War II, we designed a new world order, the longest period of peace and prosperity in history. That is now unraveling, and I don't have to tell you all the places in the world where it's unraveling. This requires a stronger national defense, a stronger military. I mean, look at the crisis we're facing in North Korea. This is really serious.
He's right. But Congress has to pass the budget, John. That's what you guys do, bro. Don't lecture the president, okay? Maybe you should have lectured the last guy. So anyway, think about it this. Operations and readiness are one thing, okay? Discipline is another. So, I may not be able to go to 29 Palms as often as I want to do shooting and things like that. But when I'm posted, for me to be alert, and to me, for me to do the basic things that I'm supposed to do, that's a discipline issue. And I'm trained to do that. And that's, so you have this pretty toxic cocktail that the Navy deals with right now, which is a higher operational tempo, fewer ships, less time to train, and a discipline problem. And you can see where that could lead, where you have weak leaders, and not just one. For these things to happen, it takes a series of weak leaders. And they all line up on a given day, and bad things happen. Okay, bad things happen. If you read the investigation, I've not seen an investigation in the USS Champlain yet. The one that relative to the USS Antietam came out, and it's sloppy. It's sloppy on the bridge. It's sloppy communications. It's sloppy in CIC. It's sloppy relative to dropping the anchor and the basic seamanship of it. And then the interaction of all of it was sloppy. And so these things, not one guy doing it. It's a whole series of sloppy events that line up, that pave the way for these things. And without seeing the Lake Champlain, I mean, how do you run into another ship? So what would you see? Sloppy ship, sloppy work on the bridge, certainly. Sloppy work by the lookouts, who should certainly see a shipping, a fishing ship during the middle of, at noon, and they should see it from the horizon. Which takes you a while to get to. What's going on down in CIC that they don't see it on the radar and account for it? I mean, it's really stunning. So, anyway, again, it's an institutional issue, and I always find those very, very interesting. The Marine Corps response to it, of the whole Marines United thing like that, and the other thing is the Marine Corps crisis in terms of people not being confrontational when they're being asked or told to do something that they shouldn't do. And you heard the commandant say, I don't care if they fight. They need to fight. You think they're going to get in trouble when they stand up and say, he wanted me to participate in a blood stripe ceremony, and I said no, and he got belligerent with me, so we fought? Yeah, here's what's going to happen. Okay, you go away. You stay here. That's how that works. He was calling a recruit a terrorist. Sir, Staff Sergeant, why did you punch the gunny? He was calling the recruit a terrorist. I told him to stop it, that it wasn't right. He called me out in front of the recruits and said, let's go outside. So we went outside, and he looked at me and said, let's go, motherfucker. So I punched him in the face. So how does that end? They wanted me to participate in killing that guy and pulling him out of his house. I said I wouldn't do it. He called me a fucking pussy in front of everybody. I said, fuck you, I'm not doing it. And he said, we're going to do it. And I said, I'm not. And if you want to fight right now, let's go. And we fought right there. Yeah, how does that end? You know, you go away, you stay here. And so when you don't have that, I mean, that's the crisis of the Marine Corps. In every one of these events, that's the crisis. Not saying, let's go. I'll fight. And then going down that road. And so the Navy has a similar crisis of negligence, of lack of discipline. And then, you know, but again, it's not excused by whatever training issues they have. It's not an excuse. This is 101. Paying attention, doing your job, staring at your radar screen, warning people, putting your binoculars up to your face and looking and warning about what's ahead. Craziness. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to put Steve Bannon on trial. Bannon sounds like cannon, but it's not. We're going to put Bannon on trial. And I want to listen to this interview that I've not heard yet. I've only seen snippets of it. And with you, and I want to hear your comments. So I'll read you a couple emails. Mac, I can't wait to try Bannon. And while you're at it, can we try that piece of shit congressman who's got after Kelly? Now, you know, look, that's the theater of politics, right? Kelly wrote a statement, right, quote, as far as the congressman, who he doesn't name, and other irresponsible members of Congress are concerned, they have the luxury of saying what they want as they do nothing and have almost no responsibility. They can call people liars, but it would be inappropriate for me to say the same thing back to them. As my blessed mother used to say, empty barrels make the most noise. The congressman has a right to his opinion. Boom. Doesn't even name him. Nice. Kelly dumping more fuel on the fire. That guy's not worth getting after. He's a political hack. Right? He stands up and makes inflammatory statements like that. For what reason? For what reason? He's a politician. We all know. All right. We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll put Steve Bannon on trial. I can't wait for this. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much.
Comedy Central has drunk history.
Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real
Trump
difference
history.
In their lives at SimplifyFunds.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thank you.
dedicated to They Know Who They Are. It's really interesting when you're around them and this song comes on. They get their geek on, you just laugh at them. Oh my God. The Danger Zone. All right, Steve Bannon, like Cannon. We're gonna put him on trial right now. All right, so get your email. You could text the program. The text number. All you got to do to find it is simply go to the website www.allmarineradio.com. All right, that's step one. And then you get there, and you go to the page that says contact info. Yeah, you see that? It's there. Take a look down at the bottom, over towards the right. Okay, contact the show. Click on that tab. 701-661-8107 is the you can text. You can email live.allmarineradio@gmail.com. That works. So it's all good. It's all good, right? So you could text. So what I'm interested in is your feedback about Steve Bannon and what he has to say. So he sits down with 60 Minutes. The other thing I've been getting an interesting amount of email about is and what I want to do is we'll do something with the PBS series. So I'll get Vietnam guys. I've got to get when they publish a list of the episodes that are going to be and the order that they're going to air. I'll be more than happy to, we'll schedule guys and men and women on the backside of that to talk about, to amplify the experience. Cause it's been interesting watching, you know, what Ken Burns says. I mean, they've been working on this. Carl Marlanis have been talking to us about it, but they've been working on this documentary for 10 years. Yeah, could you imagine? 10 years. The hardest part about it is limiting the subject matter. So you can try to cover it in however many 60 to 90 minutes that it's on a nightly basis. So, you know, daunting tasks, these complex issues in a small amount of time. So anyway, we'll go ahead and that premieres what in Sunday night, the 17th. All right. So this is Charlie Rose and, Steve Bannon on 60 Minutes. Charlie Rose, a professional guy. So we'll, and I'll stop it as necessary. But here's, if you didn't hear it, here's Steve Bannon.
Former White House Chief Strategist Steve Bannon, during his brief tenure in the West Wing and his few months as CEO of President Trump's campaign, earned many nicknames among his admirers and his ever-expanding list of enemies. He was the great manipulator, Trump's Bengali, the Grim Reaper, propagandist in chief. He describes himself as a street fighter, and he proved it in this, his first ever television interview. Bannon is back running Breitbart News, the website where the alt-right and conspiracy theories meet conventional conservatives. The street fighter, shiv in hand, came ready to brawl, and not with liberals or Democrats.
The Republican establishment is trying to nullify the 2016 election. That's a brutal fact we have to face.
The Republican establishment.
The Republican establishment
wants to nullify the 2016 election.
Trying to nullify the 2016 election. Okay. Absolutely.
Who?
I think Mitch McConnell and to a degree Paul Ryan. They do not want Donald Trump's populist, economic, nationalist agenda to be implemented. It's very obvious. It's obvious as night follows day.
Give me a story that illustrates that.
Well, Mitch McConnell, when we first met him, I mean, he said, I think, in one of the first meetings in Trump Tower with the president, as we're wrapping up, he basically says, I don't want to hear any more of this drain the swamp talk. He says, I can't hire any smart people because everybody's all over them for reporting requirements and the pay, et cetera, and the scrutiny. You know, you got to back off that. The drain the swamp thing was Mitch McConnell was day one. Did not want to go there, wanted us to back off.
You are attacking on many fronts people who you need to help you to get things done.
They're not going to help you unless they're put on notice. They're going to be held accountable if they do not support the President of the United States. Right now, there's no accountability. They do not support the President's program. It's an open secret on Capitol Hill. Everybody in the city knows it.
And so, therefore, now that you're out of the White House, you go into war with them.
Absolutely.
Have you cleaned the swamp?
Well, first off, okay. The swamp is 50 years in the making. Let's talk about the swamp. The swamp is a business model. It's a successful business model. It's a donor, consultant, K Street lobbyist, politician. Seven of the nine biggest, wealthiest counties in America ring Washington, D.C.
What are you talking about when you talk about the swamp? You're talking about the lobbyists and the people.
The permanent political class is represented by both parties. You're not going to drain that in 8 months. You're not going to drain it in 2 terms. This is going to take 10, 15, 20 years of relentlessly going after it.
So you win the election. You go through a transition. A lot of people thought might join the cabinet, didn't. Rudy, Newt, Christie.
In the 48 hours after we won, there's a fundamental decision that was made. You might call it the original sin of the administration. We embraced the establishment. We totally embraced the establishment. I think in President Trump's mind, or President like Trump's mind, and in Jared's mind, and the family's mind, I actually agreed with the decision. Because you had to staff a government. And to be brutally frank, you know, the campaign, look, I'd never been on a campaign in my entire life, right? You know, I'm a former investment banker as a media guy running a little website. Our whole campaign was a little bit the island of misfit toys. So he looks around, and I'm wearing my combat jacket. I haven't shaved. I got, you know, my hair's down to here. And he says, he's thinking, hey, I've got to put together a government. I've got to really staff out something. I need to embrace the establishment.
I
need to govern.
Let's go down the list of what things that Donald Trump wanted. He wanted to do away with Obamacare. Repeal and replace. It didn't happen.
The very first meetings we had with the Republican establishment, here was the plan that was laid out. The plan was to do Obamacare because, remember, Paul Ryan and these guys come in and said, we've done this for 7 years. We've voted on this 50.
All right. Let me read you the first email. Mac, I'm fired up to put Bannon or Banyan, either one of those two jackasses, on trial. However, as I'm sitting here listening at my keyboard, waiting to compose something, I found that I absolutely agree with him relative to the swamp. We don't have people that describe it and talk about it publicly like he just did. He talked about donors and lobbyists and elected officials in a cabal, and I didn't write down how many counties that he said run the nation. But think about it. Where would those counties be? Did he say the number was 15? They would be the 15 largest metropolitan areas in the nation. That is where the juice is. That is where the money is. They are who create policy. So far, Banyan gets a passing grade. All right, there you have it. So we're going to get pass. Douchebag. And what I think will ultimately come down on is mixed bag. Bloviating mixed bag. How about that? Next email. What makes Bannon different than any other politician? Does he tell more truth? Why am I struggling with that? All right, we're going to stop there. Now we're talking about Obamacare. So Act One is the swamp and the Republicans and the introduction. All right, here's Act Two, Obamacare. Let me just rewind this just a tad about, there you go.
Let's go down the list of what things that Donald Trump wanted. He wanted to do away with Obamacare. Repeal and replace. It didn't happen.
The very first meetings we had with the Republican establishment, here was the plan that was laid out. The plan was to do Obamacare because, remember, Paul Ryan and these guys come in and said, we've done this for 7 years. We've voted on this 50 times. We understand this issue better than anybody. We know how to repeal and we know how to replace, and this is ours. That's what we're going to start with day one, and we will have something on your desk by Easter. By the Easter break, we'll do repeal and replace. Come back from Easter and all the way up to the August break, taxes. Come back from the summer break on Labor Day, and we drive home to the end of the year on infrastructure. We accomplish all three big legislative goals in the first year. They would take...
This is what the leadership in the House and Senate told you.
And we agreed to... That was the deal.
Now blaming them for all of this.
I'm not blaming this for all this. What I'm saying is that when left to even repeal it in June when in the Senate, they put up for a vote, they only had 41 votes. There is wide discrepancy in the Republican Party as we know today now that we're in it. But I will tell you, leadership didn't know it at the time. They didn't know it to the very end. And let me tell you about Obamacare. There is something that's being worked on right now to fix Obamacare. And that came up...
Fix Obamacare.
It does not totally...
Have we come to that where the choice is simply to fix Obamacare?
I think the choice is going to be you're not going to be able to totally repeal it.
Do you accept no responsibility for the failures of this administration?
When you say failures, it's 8 months in. Give me a failure. But Obama didn't have Obamacare for the first 18 months. You're holding him to an unfair standard.
We interviewed Steve Bannon Wednesday at his home in Washington, which doubles as the headquarters of Breitbart News. The interview was a day after the Trump administration announced it would end DACA, the program that provides legal protection for undocumented immigrants who were brought to the United States as children. President Trump gave Congress 6 months to sort it out, but Bannon believed the program should be abolished.
All right, we'll stop there before we get to DACA. Obamacare. Let me read you a text. So far, Mac, not a douchebag. Not a douchebag. It sounds like he's a bright guy, doesn't like to play by the rules, and doesn't like to lose. He certainly could be abused for a politician. I could see that. I could also see where Kelly would not tolerate him. Progress is hard. Bannon doesn't seem like a political game player. I think we should all like that in him. Interesting interview. I had not heard it yet. I have not cast my ballot as a juror so far. I'm impressed with the guy. Fair enough. Mac, if Bannon's telling the truth, then Ryan, McConnell, and Congress, as you said for the last week, are clearly the problem. They can't do anything. The fact that those fools would come to him and say, tee this up, we're going to deliver this, and then not deliver it, is absolutely unforgivable politically. They screwed Trump so bad, it's a joke. And now when you see the president going after McConnell, he's yet to go after Ryan, but you saw him go after McConnell in a very public way and then cut a deal with the Democrats, that makes a lot more sense to me now. he is not going to go down with the Republican establishment that screwed him over like that. Interesting. I've not yet decided on my verdict for Bannon. But I'm enjoying being part of the jury today. Awesome. Love this. Yeah. All right. Stand by. What time is it? 8:24. DACA. We'll do DACA, then we'll take a break. Steve Bannon on with Charlie Rose. I like Charlie Rose. And on 60 Minutes from last Sunday.
I'm worried about losing the House now because of DACA. And my fear is that with this 6 months downrange, if we have another huge, if this goes all the way down to its logical conclusion in February and March, it will be a civil war inside the Republican Party that will be every bit as vitriolic as 2013. And to me, doing that in the springboard of primary season for 2018 is extremely unwise.
The president made the wrong decision?
I think you wanted him to go full bore. I think what we have to do is focus on the American citizens. I think we have to focus on American citizens.
So what would you do with the people who came here?
I think that
you saw the memo. But just tell me what you would do. That's all
I think as the work permits run out, they self-deport.
They self-deport.
Yes. I am absolutely.
But that's being deported.
There's no path to citizenship, no path to a green card, and no amnesty. Okay. Amnesty is non-negotiable.
America was, in the eyes of so many people, and it's what people respect America for. It is people have been able to come here, find a place, contribute to the economy. That's what immigration has been in America. And you seem to want to turn it around and stop it.
You could be more dead wrong. America was built on her citizens.
We're all immigrants.
America was built
except
on her
citizens. Except the Native Americans
who are
here.
Don't give me, this is the thing of the left. Right. Charlie, that's beneath you. Right. America's built on our citizens. Look at the 19th century. What built America is called the American system. From Hamilton to Polk to Henry Clay to Lincoln to the Roosevelts. A system of protection of our manufacturing, financial system that lends to manufacturers, okay, and a control of our borders. Economic nationalism is what this country was built on, the American system, right? We go back to that. We look after our own. We look after our citizens. We look after our manufacturing base. And guess what? This country is going to be greater, more united, more powerful than it's ever been. And it's not. This is not astrophysics. Okay, and by the way, that's every nationality, every race, every religion, every sexual preference. As long as you're a citizen of our country, as long as you're an American citizen, you're part of this populist economic nationalist movement.
Can I remind you, a good Catholic, that Cardinal Dolan is opposed to what's happening with DACA? Cardinal Dolan.
The Catholic Church has been terrible about this.
Okay,
the bishops have been terrible about this. By the way, you know why? You know why? Because unable to really to come to grips with the problems in the church, they need illegal aliens. They need illegal aliens to fill the churches. It's obvious on the face of it. That's what the entire Catholic bishops condemning. They have an economic interest. They have an economic interest in unlimited immigration, unlimited illegal immigration. As much as
Boy, that's a tough thing to say about your church.
As much as I respect Cardinal Dolan and the bishops on doctrine, this is not doctrine. This is not doctrine at all.
I
totally respect the Pope, and I totally respect the Catholic bishops and cardinals on doctrine. This is not about doctrine. This is about the sovereignty of a nation. And in that regard, they're just another guy with an opinion.
So how do you want to be perceived, you, today? Because you have a media image.
The media image, I think, is pretty accurate. I'm a street fighter. That's what I am.
You're more than that.
No, I think I'm a street fighter. And by the way, I think that's why Donald Trump and I get along so well. Donald Trump's a fighter. Great counterpuncher. Great counterpuncher. He's a fighter. I'm going to be his wingman outside for the entire time. To protect.
So you'll not be attacking Donald Trump in your role.
No. Our purpose is to support Donald Trump. By the way,
and destroy his enemies.
To make sure his enemies know that there's no free shot on goal. By the way, after the Charlottesville situation, that's what I told General Kelly. I was the only guy that came out and tried to defend him. I was the only guy that said, he's talking about something, taking it up to a higher level. Where did this all go? Where does this end? Does it end in, taking down the Washington Monument? Does it end in taking down...
I tell you where many people suggest it should have gone. It should have gone in terms of denouncing, specifically from the very beginning, neo-Nazis and white supremacists and people of that political view. And it should have gone there because those were people that Americans in World War II went to fight against. And you should have instantly have denounced them. And you didn't at first instinct. In fact, you seemed to be doubling down in terms of a moral equivalency.
What he was trying to say is that people that support the monument staying there peacefully and people that oppose that, that's the normal course of First Amendment. But he's talking about the neo-Nazis and neo-Confederates and the Klan, who, by the way, are absolutely awful. There's no room in American politics for that. There's no room in American society for that. My problem, and I told General Kelly this, when you side with a man, you side with him. I was proud to come out and try to defend President Trump in the media that day.
Are there no exceptions in terms of siding with someone?
You can tell him, hey, maybe you could do it a better way, but if you're going to break, then resign. If you're going to break with him, resign. The stuff that was leaked out that week by certain members of the White House, I thought was unacceptable. If you find it unacceptable, you should resign.
So who are you talking about?
I'm talking about, obviously, about Gary Cohn and some other people, that if you don't like what he's doing and you don't agree with it, you have an obligation to resign.
So Gary Cohn should have resigned.
Absolutely.
Were you upset about it?
I was of the opinion that you should condemn both the racists and the neo-Nazis because they're getting a free ride. They're getting off a free ride off Donald Trump. They're getting a free ride because it's a small group. It's a vicious group. They add no value, and all they do is show up in the mainstream media, and the left-wing media makes them up as some huge part of Donald Trump's coalition. David Duke shows up for every media opportunity because you guys put the cameras.
Well, but...
They're irrelevant.
The media does not make David Duke say what he says, that he applauded what the president did. That's what David Duke did.
David, the president has condemned David Duke and what David Duke stands for.
Everybody listening to you who talks about one of the great issues in American life today, which is the plight of the middle class.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'll read you one more email. Mac, pretty interesting stuff. I'm actually fascinated by the whole inside baseball part of this and hearing that. I believe I heard you say what the president's talking about based on the fact that nobody believes he's a racist when he said there's good people on both sides of the argument were people that were talking about the monument staying, historians and people like that, and that people protesting. He was not talking about the Antifa crowd nor the white supremacist. Yet that message was confused. Maybe they should revise their playbook, knowing that the media is liberal, you immediately have to placate that and then you make your point. But in that way, you would disarm this nonsense. It's fascinating, 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 fascinating stuff to listen to behind the scenes. Thanks for doing this. I have yet to reserve my vote. Although I'm starting to like Banyan, and I didn't think that would be the outcome of this. Interesting. All right. We're going to take a break. More of Steve Bannon. Sorry about that. Light cannon. Coming up as we continue on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff, I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Let's talk about it. As she walked out on me and slammed the
I mean, this is going to be interesting because Bannon isn't going away, and he's going to get after guys like Paul Ryan. He's going to get after Mitch McConnell, and what he's going to do is he's going to take aim at him. And senators that are up for re-election, who don't hold a strong, who aren't strong supporters of the president. So it'll be interesting. Let me just tell you, to me, the most interesting thing that Donald Trump has in his portfolio right now is based on his not too cozy relationship with the Republican Party, right? And he's not a Republican. He embraces some policies, but he's not a party guy, and he never has been. He's for making deals and making progress and making things better. What does that make him? Ran as a Republican, right? Rhino Republican in name only, right? Trump is, he's for Trump. Okay. The Trump party, I guess. So when you look at that, you can see the behind the baseball stuff and why he would be, you know, he associates himself with winners. Okay, and so it's interesting when you heard, which is why I think he likes General Kelly. So when you hear Bannon talking about the Charlottesville stuff, you have to double down on, you have to be in with the president. And what are we going to do? War game that. You're going to burn it down on that issue. All it's going to do is keep that issue alive. Right? And so you can be critical of him in a, let's just say, in a media that's controlled by the liberal media, and when they decide that you've made your first steps were a mistake, and that is all that is being written about, do you then get out the gas can and the blowtorch and you go after that? Bannon said yes. So again, interesting stuff. Let me read you a couple emails. One is a text message. Mac, I'm enjoying what you're doing this morning. It's kind of fun. I too had never heard the interview. I had seen headlines of it, and I'm glad I'm hearing it, and I'm glad I'm hearing it in the context that we're doing it. So keep up the marginally good work. Thank you very much. All right, let me, Ohio man. I too am thoroughly enjoying this. What a great example of how the media paints a narrative and influences perception. The media and pundit class calls Bannon a white supremacist, Nazi racist, etc. I follow Breitbart on Facebook, and if I ever saw anything racist or Nazi-like, I'd stop in a heartbeat. I'm pretty agnostic on Bannon, but it's sure fun to hear the comments from your surprised listeners. Yeah, no, he has been painted, no doubt. I don't particularly care for him. All right. We left off with how he's perceived. All right. Pretty interesting stuff. He talked about the quote I saw was that it would touch off if this thing wasn't, if DACA wasn't dealt with in 6 months, it would touch off a civil war. What they didn't write was a civil war within the Republican Party in this headline I saw. And so the Republican Party is screwed on this deal. So I love it when politicians who play this game get screwed. I honestly do. And they're forced into stopping playing the game. And the game that we talk about, I mean, with the budget and stuff like that, how much has it impacted the Department of Defense? Dirty little secret. If we go to war, the aviation component of the United States military goes there limping. Goes there limping. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. All right. More of Steve Bannon.
But they also believe that there is, on your part and the president's part, not enough appreciation for some of the values also that made America great. And you don't appreciate that. And you don't appreciate the diversity. You don't appreciate the respect for civil rights.
I was raised in a desegregated neighborhood. North side of Richmond is predominantly black. Okay, I went to an integrated school, a Catholic school. I served in the military. I don't need to be lectured by a bunch of limousine liberals, okay, from the Upper East Side of New York and from the Hamptons, okay, about any of this. My lived experience is that.
New York's Cardinal Timothy Dolan, citing both Hebrew Scripture and the New Testament, calls Steve Bannon's criticism of the church's support for immigrants preposterous and so ridiculous that it doesn't merit a comment. Questions about Russian interference in the presidential election and why Steve Bannon called prominent members of the Bush administration idiots when we come back.
That is so rich, isn't it? It is absolutely awesome. But again, Bannon, this is a thing that I enjoy about when politicians get out of office. All of a sudden, now they can tell the truth. When they're in office, they can't tell the truth. And so, I tell the story about watching Bill Clinton and Bob Dole on stage talking farm. Oh, hold on.
Steve Bannon's strategy during his time as CEO of the Trump campaign helped turn conventional politics on its head. But before the administration even began, President Trump's upset victory faced investigations into whether it was won under a shadow of Russian interference in the 2016 election.
There's nothing to the Russia investigation. It's a waste of time.
What do you believe? You know what the national security institutions believe. What do you believe?
What do you mean what they believe? We don't really, I mean, that there may have been. It's a total and complete farce. Russian collusion is a farce.
Okay, I didn't say collusion. Did the Russians try to influence the election?
If you consider maybe something they did at the DNC.
Maybe something they did?
Maybe something that
That's not what the CIA believes. That's not what the FBI believes.
Have you seen the intelligence reports?
No.
Okay, fine. So you don't
know. Have you seen intelligence reports?
I have seen the intelligence reports.
And are you saying to me those intelligence reports do not suggest that the Russians tried to influence the election?
I would never devolve classified information on this show. But let me tell you, I think it's far from conclusive that the Russians had any impact on this election.
Well, that's not the question. Did they try to influence the American election? That's what the investigation is about.
We'll have to wait till the investigation is finished.
Why does the president find it so hard to criticize Russia?
Charlie, this is what stuns me. I don't think the president goes out of his way. His point is, why pick another fight? We got enough problems around the world.
So don't criticize the Russians because we don't need another fight.
He criticizes the Russians all the time. He knows the Russians are not good guys. We should be focused on how we bring the Cold War to an end. So we don't have to, and I think it was President Obama's program, $1 trillion to upgrade the nuclear arsenal. Is that what you want to do? Is that where you want to spend your money? Would you rather spend $1 trillion in Cleveland, in Baltimore, in the inner cities of this country where we need to spend it, in the heartland of this nation? And I think what he's trying to say, in a world of anarchy, do you need another enemy?
I don't know of a higher priority for you than going to economic war with China.
Donald Trump, for 30 years, has singled out China as the biggest single problem we have on the world stage. The elites in this country have got us in a situation, we're at not economic war with China, China's at economic war with us, okay?
You want a trade war with China.
I want China to stop appropriating our technology. China is, through forced technology transfer and through stealing our technology, but really forced technology transfer, is cutting out the beating heart of American innovation.
We asked Steve Bannon how he responds to criticisms of President Trump on national security that have been made by members of his own party.
On the campaign, what did the mainstream media say all the time about Donald Trump and national security? He's a madman. He's crazy. The Republican establishment came out, all the Bush guys came out with all those ads, okay? He's irresponsible. He should not be allowed around the nuclear trigger. And going after the establishment, just like in national security, he's done it in a prudent method.
It's not just those guys. It's the former National Director of Intelligence.
Absolutely.
James Clapper.
Exactly.
Said he might not be trusted.
This is once again where the narrative is dead wrong. And by the way, they had all the stuff in the Wall Street Journal, the signed advertisements from all the geniuses in the Bush administration that got us here. The geniuses in the Bush administration that let China in the WTO, and genius in the Bush administration told us, hey, they're going to be a liberal democracy, they're going to be free market capitalism, okay? The same geniuses that got us into Iraq. That's the geniuses of the Bush administration. I hold these people in contempt, total and complete contempt. I don't want to hear it. It gets all over me like nothing else. And you know why? They're idiots. And they've gotten us in this situation, and they question a good man like Donald Trump. I don't want to name names.
Well, you have to name names because you're painting with a broad brush.
I want you to know, I don't want to say I'm a fan, okay? I don't want to say I'm a fan, but calling the Bush crew idiots is hitting a sympathetic chord with me, okay? Because that is simply singing the truth.
The Condi Rice, the George W. Bush, his entire national security apparatus, and the
Prince
national Skokoff, security.
Colin Powell,
yes.
Condi Rice,
absolutely.
Dick Cheney.
All of it. By the way, the Obama crowd, almost the same. Clinton crowd, almost the same. It's three administrations.
President Trump made.
He's not wrong about that. He's not wrong about that. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing.
Steve Bannon, CEO of his campaign, just 3 months before Election Day. The campaign's biggest crisis was an October surprise when a 2005 video surfaced of Mr. Trump using vulgar language to describe his encounters with women. He made those remarks on a bus to TV host Billy Bush.
Any truth that he's dropping out?
The Trump family and senior advisors held emergency weekend meetings. Those meetings included New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and Republican Party Chairman Reince Priebus.
And Trump went around the room and asked people the percentages he thought of still winning and what the recommendation. And Reince started off, and Reince said, you have two choices. You either drop out right now or you lose by the biggest landslide in American political history. And Trump, with his humor, goes, that's a great way to start our conversation. We went around the room. And I could tell from the incoming of politicians, and I could tell from some of the politicians that were there, is that the natural inclination of politicians are to be so overwhelmingly stunned and shocked by how the media comes on you. But Trump wasn't that. And I told him as he went around, I was the last guy to speak, and I said, it's 100%. You have 100% probability of winning. And that's the first time.
But you seem to have done that at every point in the campaign. When he was in trouble, asking him to double down on his rhetoric, double down in terms of appealing to his base.
Appealing to the American people and to the working class people in this country, absolutely. You know why? Because it was a winner. That's why I told him, double down every time. And on that day, that's the first time and only time he ever got upset with me. He goes, come on, it's not 100%. I go, it's absolutely 100%. And I told him why. They don't care.
And they do care about respect for women.
They do, but
and it's not just locker room talk.
Locker room talk. The Billy Bush thing is locker room talk.
Did you lose confidence of anybody because they came at you at that point and said, look, he ought to get out of this race, other than Reince Priebus? I mean, did your attitude towards those people who said that, you're just wrong?
Absolutely. Billy Bush Saturday, to me, is a litmus test. It's a litmus test. And I said it the other day to General Kelly during the Charlottesville thing afterwards. It's a line I remember from the movie The Wild Bunch. William Holden uses it right before that huge gunfight at the end. When you side with a man, you side with him. Okay? The good and the bad. You can criticize him behind, but when you side with him, you have to side with him. And that's what Billy Bush Weekend showed me.
Well,
shows.
You took names on Billy Bush Sunday, didn't you?
I did. I got him. You know, I'm Irish. I got my black book, and I got him. Christie, because of Billy Bush Weekend, was not looked at for a cabinet position.
He wasn't there for you on Billy Bush Weekend, so therefore he doesn't get a cabinet position.
I told him the plane leaves at 11 o'clock in the morning.
If you're on the plane, you're on the team. Didn't make the plane.
In all the conversations about you, there's this Saturday Night Live image.
Okay, Donald, that's enough fun for tonight. Can I have my desk back?
Yes.
Now, this is Saturday Night Live, man. Could they ask for more than they got from the Trump administration? No, they have Bannon in a Grim Reaper outfit with a black robe on, and there's what's his name? Alec Baldwin playing Donald Trump.
Of course, Mr. President, I'll go sit at my desk.
It basically shows you some Bengali.
Actually, the Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper.
Right. I don't need affirmation of the mainstream media. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. They can call me an anti-Semite. They can call me racist. They can call me native. They can call me anything you want. Okay? As long as we're driving this agenda for the working men and women in this country, I'm happy.
To be this strong a defender, why aren't you there? Why, and would the President of the United States, who you applaud so loudly, have allowed you to leave if he didn't want you out?
No, it's the exact opposite. I was a staff. Look, I'm not cut out to be a staffer.
Your title was not staffer. Your title was chief strategist.
You are a staffer. I was a federal government employee. There's certain things you can't do. I cannot take the fight to who you have to take the fight to when I'm an advisor to the president as a federal government employee. You can't do it.
You know that this White House leaks like nobody's ever seen a White House leak. And that's where the reporters are getting the story. And they're getting a story about conflict between you and H.R. McMaster. They're getting stories about conflict between you and Jared Kushner and you and Ivana Trump. They're getting all these stories because people in the White House, including you, are leaking. You know that. And you have, in fact, said no administration in history has been so divided among itself about the direction about where it should go. So I want to know from you, what's the divide?
The divide is, first off, President Trump and the way President Trump has always run his organizations. He will always take divergent views. I think that's healthy because I think for an idea, a Darwinian environment for ideas is positive. Now, the one thing I disagree with is that I think there has been a divide in this administration from the beginning. It's quite obvious. There's one group of people that on the campaign, and by the way, it's basically the campaign and some additional came on that said, all you have to do is do what you said you were going to do in these major areas. Let's punch out one thing after the other. You're going to keep your coalition together, and we're going to add to it over time as you're successful. There's another group that has said, let's compromise, and let's try to reach out to Democrats, and let's try to work on things that we can do together.
Did General Kelly say to you, you got to go?
Absolutely not. I went to General Kelly on August 7th, saying my one-year anniversary is coming up. And in fact, when I went to him on the 7th and said, hey, I'm going to put in my letter of resignation. I'm going to be out of here on the 14th. It'll be 1 year to the date.
But by that time, and you know this, you were isolated inside the
White
House.
That's absolutely not true. I had the same influence on the president I had on day one.
This is the first television interview you've done.
Yes. Ever.
What I have received from you in this conversation is Donald Trump, you believe, is a historic figure. You believe that Donald Trump, has been without criticism. And I don't believe you're the kind of person that doesn't give him kind of criticism.
It's not without criticism.
Haven't made that criticism. Right.
I think if there's one criticism or one observation, is that the president, in coming here, right, has still thought, at least in the beginning of his administration, that it's about personalities. And if I can change this personality, or if I can get this guy on my side, I can do that. And it's not what the institutional logic is. I think some of that was with the FBI and others in the State Department and how his foreign policy is playing out. But I believe you're going to see over time, he's going to have a greater appreciation that this is a city of institutions. And you must engage them as institutions, not just as personalities.
Does that mean he'll be more, quote, presidential?
I think when you say presidential, I think he's very presidential. I think he's very presidential. This is one of the things he uses. He uses Twitter, they used to call me, you're the enabler of the Twitter. I think what he does on Twitter is extraordinary. He disintermediates the media. He goes above their head and talks directly to the American people.
It's not a question of going over the head of the head of the media. It's what he says.
It's what he says. No, it's what he says that you deem that the mainstream media, the pearl clutching mainstream media, the pearl clutching mainstream media, what they deem is not correct, what they deem is not right.
No, it's not a question of being right or not right. It's a question of
appropriate.
It's a question. It's not a question of appropriateness.
It's what you deem is.
It's a question of whether it's in his interest. That's the point.
I think
not the appropriateness of it.
Okay, I don't think he needs the Washington Post and the New York Times and CBS News, and I don't believe he thinks that they're looking out for what's in his best interest. Okay, he's not going to believe that. I don't believe that, and you don't believe that. Okay, this is another standard and judgment that you rain upon him in the effort to destroy Donald Trump. He knows he's speaking directly to the people who put him in office when he uses Twitter. And if sometime is not in the custom and tradition of what the opposition party deems is appropriate, you're absolutely correct. It's not. And he's not going to stop. And by the way, General Kelly, who I have the most tremendous respect for and has put in very tight processes, he's not going to be able to control it either, because it's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump talking directly to the American people. And say something else, you're going to get some good there, and every now and again, you're going to get some less good. Okay? But you're just going to have to live with it.
That's a win. Steve Bannon's not done.
Boy, you got me worked up.
I know. Stay with me.
He has lots more to say at 60MinutesOvertime.com.
Yes.
All right. We'll get to that probably maybe tomorrow. All right. So we're going to take a break. So we're going to hit pause on the trial. I got a couple emails to read you. And then we'll resume the trial tomorrow because 60 Minutes Overtime. We got to hear that. You know that. So I'll take a look at that, and then if I have to edit it up, I'll edit it up. But I have to tell you that there were not there's not too much I heard that I disagreed with. You know, the Twitter thing. You know, I'm not a fan of the things he says. I believe he could use it in a much better way. Taking on the MSNBC personalities, and when he gets personal with that, bad. When he talks about policy and gives his opinion, good. Good. But interesting stuff. China takes him on, right? You're not wrong about that. And calling the Bush administration idiots. This is the discussion that we need to have as a nation. Enough of this. As I said, Martha Vineyard, elites of the nation, living as billionaires, governing us. At some point, call them what you think they are. How is there any other explanation other than idiots? And again, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, that whole crew. Look what they've done to the nation, and look what they've done to the planet. It's inescapable. You can't conclude otherwise. Even if you want to, you can't conclude like that. All right, so I've got to, let me read you a text message. Bannon is already exonerated, in my opinion. What's really interesting, Mac, is what Ohio man said a few minutes ago. If you listen to the interview, the headlines that I've seen coming out of it aren't close. I saw a headline that said that he gets into General Kelly. At what point does that happen? In the overtime? I'll be curious, because if what got said sounds like General Kelly is doing what needs to be done to put an end to the warring factions that President Trump enables by virtue of the way he does business. The other point I thought Bannon made, and he's true, is when you're an advisor to the president and you're going to be essentially muzzled, which doesn't sound like it's Banyan's style, it would behoove him to leave. And I think he did the right thing in leaving. He will be much more formidable in his current capacity, given his inside view of the White House for these last 7, 8, 9 months, than he would sitting in his office. Thanks for playing this, though. I found it absolutely riveting. I'm curious about the way the jury will decide. I would love to hear General Kelly, with his broad experience, in the same kind of open forum. We certainly won't, but I would love to hear that. Unplugged, if you will. All right, one more email. I don't like Banyan. I don't like his snarky attitude. I don't like the stuff he says. I'll vote guilty right now. Call me a hater, but I don't like the guy. I am enjoying the trial, though. Semper Fidelis. All right, we're going to take a break. The Gunner going to join me next. We're going to do this more often. I'll find interviews, and we'll put them on trial. More of a All Marine Radio coming up next.
The Sun.
What is that? Who is that? Where is that coming from?
Team back to camp.
They bring back chunks to melt down into the camp's only drinking water.
All the things that you take for granted.
That would be 60 minutes.
Right.
All right. Now that I got that straight, we'll be back with Mike Musselman.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoffoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. You know, I play the angry music when we're going to be angry.
No, play Eminem then.
I did. I'm playing him right now.
No, I know, but till I collapse. That's the song I'm thinking in my head.
You know, it's funny. Mike and I have never talked about Eminem in our lives, and we both know. You want to listen to angry music? Marshall Mathers, man. He's not a happy dude. The,
Kid Rock.
Yeah, Kid Rock can get angry. Did you and I talk about his response when people asked?
Yeah.
About not filing papers and running for Senate? Right.
My vote.
Yeah, his response, fuck you. I didn't announce yet. Before we talk about what you're angry about, did you watch the Steve Bannon interview?
Who's Steve Bannon?
The president's guy who resigned, he was his chief strategist, that guy? Former Navy guy? I'll send you the link and watch it, okay?
Is this going to make me more upset?
No, it won't. It won't. I think you'll find it interesting. I mean, he's been involved in all these different fights in the White House and whatnot, and you'll find it interesting about, you know, they got told by Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, we've been working on repeal and replace for 7 years. We're ready to do this.
And then they're given the opportunity to do it, and they
blow it out their ass.
They just sit there. Yeah, and they sit there and...
And you wonder why the president got after Mitch McConnell in public. If you're not going to deliver, what do we need you for? But again, this is after they said, no, health care first, we're ready to do it, we've been working on it. Can you imagine that? And then it blows up in your face, and then you're standing out there as the president, right, taken all the shit in the world. McConnell's a quote unquote master legislator. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Meaning he's a masterful piece of shit.
Then
that's what that means.
Then he calls the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, and the Obama administration. He says, look where they got us. They're idiots. And then Charlie Rose says, wait a minute. Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Don Rumsfeld, and he throws some other name out there.
Oh.
He said, idiots? And then
Rumsfeld would be one. I put Rumsfeld in. Yeah, I would not make a case against calling Rumsfeld an idiot.
Oh, how could you? You'd be factually incorrect.
He is the biggest of the idiots.
Right. And look, I think Condoleezza Rice is a bright woman.
Yeah.
But she was the president's national security advisor. And look at the shit sandwich that those morons, where they have us. Look what they did to not only the United States. Look what they did to the region. Look what they did to Europe.
Yeah.
Look what they did to the world. And then how do you find another word social. Other than idiots?
It was a social experiment for those idiots to like, well, let's take it in this direction and see what goes.
Yeah. All right, Condi, you're all done now. Where are you? Oh, I'm gonna be a multimillionaire. I'm headed to Stanford and I'll give lectures on leadership and things like that.
Yep.
So
old parachutes, man.
Oh my God, it's crazy. So anyway, it's just an academic exercise for them. They're off to better things. So
yep.
So let's talk about what Europe said about today though.
So yesterday you asked me a little bit about 9/11. You're like, hey, did you see this? Did you, you know, do you remember where you're at? No. And you know, and it's one of those things. You know, again, I'm more shocked in the fact that they're actually airing this stuff because, you know, my thing with American people is they're stupid. They have no, they're like a third grader with ADD. They just have no concentration. They can't see anything through.
Right.
They just.
I'm with you.
Yeah. They have no stomach for anything.
I would quarrel with the word stupid. When you sit them down and you sit them in front of something and you give them the facts, to me, the majority of them can figure it out. But that's a huge chore.
Yeah. Three words or less, though, because then you lose attention span on that.
Right. I'm with you.
So then this thing comes on TV and it's about, it's the part one, part two, part three of the road to 9/11. Like, how did we get from A to Z? You know, what were the steps? Who were these guys? It wasn't just an operation. They just go, hey, let's do this and then do it. You know, and so they start with the very first was, the rabbi, the assassination of, what's his name? Kanishin or anyway, sort of the K in New York in 1990. And then it kind of goes forward through there through the series of the attempt bombs on the World Trade Centers, the first ones, you know, and all these other things. And then it goes across the globe. You know, they start chasing these guys. And
Okay. Hold on. Where is, what network has this on?
It was the History Channel, actually.
The History Channel. Well, no, because they do good work. They tend to do good work.
They do great work.
Yeah, they tend not to promote bullshit. Although the Amelia Earhart thing was pretty sloppy. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, pretty crappy.
Yeah.
So they go through this whole thing, and they kind of do this link analysis, and it's a lot of interviews where they're interviewing these former FBI agents, former CIA case officers, you know, yada, 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 on the whole, you know, what was their role and what went down. And again, they do this link analysis and they show how everything comes together, you know, like, so the biggest thing that we missed on the radar was when the Cold War ended, when Russia was no longer our enemy. You know, we didn't as an intelligence agency, we had no forward thinkers that really kind of went, And, you know, now we have reverse thinkers that were like, well, now that you see the, you know, hindsight guys, hindsight intelligence, which doesn't make sense to me, you know, so you have people looking back and saying, well, if we only did this or if we only did that, but anyway, so how it shows how these terrorist organizations came out, of the shadows after the Cold War and were really the new enemy. But then it goes on and on and on. And then eventually, Mac, what really kind of ticks me off, where I'm really ticked right now in the show, is it starts showing, you know, the different presidential administration. And I'm not saying Bush is winning better, you know. No one did it right. The problem was, and like these case officers and these FBI guys that were chasing these guys said, there's no politician that has the stomach for this job. You know, they never want to see it through. When it comes down to pulling the trigger, they just don't have the guts, you know. And the one guy, the CIA guy, he's my favorite because he calls it as it is. And you know, and I like people that all his coworkers said he's brash, he's in your face, he's a little abrasive. Okay, who cares about your feelings there? You know, go back to work, do your job. It's his professionalism. So. This guy, he's calling it as it is, man. And he's like, you know, I was hired for one job. I was paid to keep Americans safe. And if that hurts your, if I hurt your feelings over something I said, then too bad. You know, I don't give it. You know, he's, and this guy's great, man. He's just like, you know, I don't give a shit. I don't give it. You know, that's my whole thing is I don't give a shit about your feelings. It's not about feelings anymore. So we go on and on and on. But now we're at the.
Okay, so what part are you watching right now?
KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, you know, the mastermind of the 9/11.
Okay, so let me just tell everybody the you can go to it shows a key. You need a key. All right, it's called Road to 9/11. You can watch.
It's 6 hours.
It says watch the full special. And there's part one is Brooklyn Jihad. We begin in New York in November of 1990 when an extremist rabbi, Meir Kahan, is gunned down in Midtown Manhattan Hotel ballroom. Right, and then episode two is the Bin Ladens. Part two moves from New York to Washington, D.C., where the CIA and Clinton administration officials are trying to understand and react to changing events and the Bin Ladens entry. Part three is Days of Terrorism, 2000 to 2003. The final episode explores how the September 11th attack came to be, a portrait emergence of the true mastermind of the attack, Sheikh, Khalil Sheikh Mohammed. So, So you're through two parts or you're obviously watching the third part?
I'm in the middle of the third part.
Okay.
And so now, you know, and it's amazing to me that this, again, this went completely under the radar.
Okay, Mike, let me ask you this. One of the things that has been, you and I both know, some of this intelligence that you read about, in retrospect, where they say, we knew, we had a report. It's one of 1,000 reports you get that day. Let me just finish the thought. From an unnamed source, right, who you don't have a history with. So that goes into a stack unless you get 17 reports on that subject that day. Then you say, hey, this just broke squelch. There's a lot of chatter about this. We need to start looking at this, right? But if it's onesies and twosies stuff, you know, in retrospect, you can then turn around and point to saying, hey, look at that. Okay, is that what we're talking about or?
No. Okay. What we're talking about is the interviews with these guys, and these guys are the actual, you know, rubber meets the road. These are the guys that the investigators that actually were tailing these guys that were pulling this information. And, you know, to hear their confession of, you know, I submitted this, went up, and, you know, that, hey, this is the guy. We need to do this right now. And people, it fell on deaf ears, you know, and Okay, almost so, to the point right, where so, a couple of right,
hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me just when we work together, we have the process is we have targeting packages brought to what is known as the targeting board. This is how you get on different lists to be killed or captured. Okay. And so depending on who you are and things we have, different people have to approve that package. So for instance, you can't, like a local commander cannot issue an order, that guy's to be killed on site. Okay. That has
right.
to come from
it's
a hot, right. Okay. So what we're talking about now is the national level, right?
Right.
Through the CIA of killer capture orders. Okay.
So the NCS. Yeah.
Right. So Mike, as they develop these targeting packages, what you see is simply we don't have the stomach for it?
No, what you see is, this is what really gets me going, man. What you see is them coming back. So nine times, dude. Okay. So, well, more than nine times over a period of, I want to say a month in just south of Kandahar, there was a place where they, were flying falcons for hunting, okay? And they were bringing in all these wealthy sheiks from UAE in to do this type of retreat. Well, during this whole time, they knew, they had proof, evidence, that every time Osama bin Laden was visiting us, and this is after the grand jury indicted him. I mean, we had the go-ahead to kill him on site. And so they knew that he was visiting these things, giving speeches, giving lectures, holding mass, or whatever it's called,
right.
Numerous times. And every time they were, you know, the military teed up and was getting ready to pull the trigger on this guy, it went deaf at the White House. Nothing. Silence. Fell on deaf ears. So finally what they found out later, well, the fact was they denied this because they did not want to, you know, because there was wealthy sheiks there. There were people from Qatar. Collateral damage, and you know, they didn't want to cause an uproar. Qatar, you know, it's like, what? Qatar's the size of Rhode Island. What would they do to us? You know, oh, you know, it'll just make them angry. They're already angry at us. They're supporting this idiot. And then one of the CIA guys says, classically, he says, you know, when I was a little boy, I was once told, if you lie down with the dog, you're going to get fleas. So, you know, this whole thing of just because they're princess doesn't matter. They're lying with the dog. They already got fleas. So that means, you know, it's too bad, too sad. Again, I was hired to do a job, and that was to keep America safe. And, you know, and what's weighing on all these guys' minds, because, you know, you listen to them talk, and the emotion that they talk with is like, you know, they hit the pause because they're so emotionally overwhelmed that they're like, you know, 9/11 happened on my watch. I let it happen. If I would have done something, if I would have, you know, just went rogue and just said, you know what, screw it. I'm kill this guy. You know, and pick up the phone and call, you know, JSOC and just say, execute. On whose authority? Mine. Go. Boom. And the guy had been dead. We would have never had this memorial. We would have never had this day. It would have been over with. And that's that whole thing that just kind of drives me kind of crazy is, you know, all it takes is that, it's that circle of stupidity, right, Mark? So all it takes is one intervention at a certain point before the circle makes a full circle, and it stops. You see something stupid happening, and you go, hey, stop that. You don't know what you just caused, the ripple effect, but you know one thing is it's not going to come to fruition. You know, you don't know if you saved the guy's life, saved his limbs, or whatever. But in this case, you listen to these interviews, Mac, and it's not one of these hindsight, like, oh, no, they knew. These guys knew, and that's what drives them crazy is they were trying to make their supervisors, but they were looked at upon as, you're crazy. You're telling me that these guys, these camel jockeys who raise camels and date in the desert are that sophisticated to fly a plane into a building? Yes, jackass, we've known that for 9 years now. I just don't believe you. I mean, that's the kind of shit that you're listening to. You're like, oh, doesn't take much. You know? Shit, Dave Furness would have pulled the trigger on some of these guys with way less. because, I mean, he's a reasonable, but the problem is, you're talking, the difference between...
Mike, you're talking about a war fighter?
We're different people.
Yeah, we're talking about...
We're talking different people.
Yeah, they're not from our tribe.
Different breed.
Right.
No, they're not. They're not tribal at all.
Right.
You know? Because they have, if they're tribal, they have some sort of commitment towards something. They don't. You know, politicians, just one of these things where I'm watching this and I'm like, God, you know, can I even hate these guys even more? Yep.
Is it possible?
Is it possible that you can go to 12 or 13 in the hate scale? Yep. Yes, sir, it is.
Oh my God!
But it's a great show, and I'm telling you, it's if you get the opportunity to watch it, there's a lot of stuff in there that I didn't know, a lot.
Like,
and, like I said,
like give me one.
All the involvement around the world, and the guys, the bomb maker. How these guys? What was really kind of fascinating is, even though they're terrorists, and even though, like, KSM and the guy that, I forgot his name, but the first bomber of the first tower, of first botched attempt of the World Trade Center, how proud they are, prideful people they are, as far as taking responsibility for something they've done. So, you know, when KSM announced that he was responsible for the 9/11 thing, Osama bin Laden was pissed. He was pissed that, wait a second, pal, you work for me, so thus it's I take responsibility. There was a falling out between these guys because of that, because one guy wanted more recognition than the other. Because even though, you know, they're a terrorist piece of shit, they still got egos. You know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of little stuff, and that's why I said it's just it's very, very, very interesting as far as, you know, behind the scenes. But I think what's really intriguing to me is how long this was in the process. But, you know, like they said, the problem with America is we went through what took it off, terrorism kind of derailed it in the American opinion. Because that's, the media plays a lot, as you know, into politics. And during that time, this whole terrorist hunt, let's see, the Monica Lewinsky thing, and they put that on there, and I was loving that. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And then the next scene. Okay, I did have relations, but I don't think to consider them sexual. I mean, well, you consist, you know, Slick Willie doing his dance. You know, that took a lot of, the attention off of, you know, what was going on in the world. The shark attacks of the summer of 2001 in the summer, you know, 39 shark attacks on the Eastern Seaboard, the summer of the shark, you know, you're like, little did they know that it was going to be, you know, the fall of mayhem.
You know, hey, but, Mike, so let me, it's, so my question when you bring that up is, why would any of that stuff matter? Because, you know, we have different meetings for this stuff, right? We have a meeting, the way I have my, I'm going to be the president, so I have my, my foreign policy, and then a sub meeting after that, all right, is my, TSSCI brief, that'll deal with targeting and targets around, right? I have my domestic agenda, and then blah, 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 blah. All right. So, those two, that stuff doesn't.
Because we haven't learned. We are going to make the same mistake again.
But this is not a political decision. This is a national security decision, and
this is a political decision, Mike.
So ultimately,
it's all politics. It's never. Ultimate. It's always political. Yeah.
Sometimes I get stupid. Sometimes I get stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was like, wait, yeah, you knew that. Like, when is it never a political decision? It's all about how we are perceived in the world's eye. You know, and it's amazing. So look at it right now. Look at more of the conventional side. Look at North Korea. What are we doing? Exactly. You know, it's if we're doomed to repeat So that's our the thing that we have to bear is we're always going to repeat our mistakes. We're going to do it again. You know, and as terrorism evolves, what are we going to do then, Mac? Think about it. You know, what's the book called? You know, and I got it right here. Remember when the Marine Corps started talking about maneuver warfare?
Yes.
Those guys that were talking about it were branded as what? Heretics.
Yeah, they were heretics.
They were drummed out. Like, what are you talking about? What is this maneuver warfare talk about? So I got that. I got the original book from William Lind. Bill S. Lind.
Maneuver Warfare.
This is his. I still have to turn it in because it's due at the James Carson Breckenridge Library at the Training and Education Center.
Nice.
In 1990.
You stole it?
Yeah, what so Infantry Officers Gumbin. Course Professional Library.
You stole it from IOC.
I know, but there's a.
Hey, wait, stop. 1990?
Yeah, March of 1990.
When were you there?
I was passing through.
What were you doing? Mike, when I met Mike in...
I was a corporal.
I know, but...
In 1990. I was doing some FBI training.
When I met Mike, Stuart Navarre showed up with this gang of guys. And I was working for Joe Mattis, and they were hanging out in the G3, the Division G3, kind of getting their act together. And I met Mike, and I looked at him, and I said, "I know you." And we started, but I swear to God, you and I have crossed paths because I was at IOC then, and I don't.
I was going through some close quarter battle training with the FBI,
stealing books.
And so in my time off, I stopped over there and I remember, I can't remember. Oh, so yeah, Shirock, J.J. Shirock was over there. I think he was either a captain. And so J.J. Shirock was one of my first platoon commanders and we stayed really in touch, and so I stopped by and I saw him, and that's where I got this book. I went through, again, I got the whole book, and it's got that stamp, you know, that cheap stamp in there. It says, Property of Infantry Officers Course,
nice.
Professional Library, that, IOC,
that
March
meant,
1990.
That meant a lot to you then. Nice.
Well, no, I sat down, and I remember picking this book up, because it's like a cheap-looking book. It's just got a green cover.
Right.
And, you know, you look through here, and you're like, who's this Bill Lind guy? And you're like, okay. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, the theory of maneuver warfare, and you're like, what? This sounds crazy. But then the more I read about it, I'm like, oh my God, this is like the future. This is the way we're going to start fighting. And then I remember being a sergeant and a corporal and a sergeant, and then even talking about that, you know, I remember when I was a sergeant, I said, surfaces and gaps. And people looked at me like, what? Did you just say? You know, and I'm talking about surfaces and gaps, the concepts of, you know, of surfaces and gaps. And they're like, are you okay? You know, like, what are you talking about? I said, well, I read this book. And they're like, by who? And I said, you know, Bill Lind. Who's Bill Lind? And I'm like, well, you'll know one day.
You'll know one day, but, son.
Yeah. But, you know, I remember reading this book and going, wow. So that's the same thing. You know, so now you look at terrorism, that's the new threat. And we're trying to get our arms around. So then terrorism morphed into cyber war. So, you know, everybody believes the next war is going to be fought on the computer. You're an idiot. You are an absolute idiot if you believe that the next war is going to be fought on the computer. It's not going to be fought on the computer, but the battlefield is going to be multidimensional. So it's not going to be air, land, and sea anymore. You know, it could be space, it could be cyberspace, shit, it could be underground. You know, think of, you got to branch out and you got to think multidimensional. That's how they're going to fight the next war across all those fronts.
Right.
You know, And that's what terrorism has come down to. It's financial. I mean, there's a whole network of guys. And, you know, like the FBI guy said, this is not hard. Being a counterterrorist analyst is not hard. It's the modern day, Al Capone stuff. It's mafioso type hierarchy where people are in different positions. You have these guys doing this thing. You guys, these guys doing that thing. And everybody reports to the Don. You know, so if you know basic criminal behavior, that's what terrorism, you know. And then they're not always hiding in the cave in Afghanistan. They're walking the streets among them.
Yeah, they're hanging out in Vegas. You know,
so, yeah, absolutely. So that's the problem, is people tend to be short-sighted, single focus, you know, they instead of having the wider aperture looking at everything, they just kind of narrow their focus and look at this. Now look what's, you know, going on in the news, you know, North Korea. And, oh, we're doing live fire exercises. You know, we've been doing live fire exercises in North, you know, in South Korea forever. Yeah, that scares them.
Well, you know, there's a big thing. There's articles out today about the USS McCain and the Fitzgerald, and said their training certificates were out of date. And I was talking about, like, oh, whoop. I said, let me just explain to you the op tempo in today's military. And there's certain times that you're supposed to get these things done, but guess what? Sometimes stuff happens and you can't get there. And because we
oversaturation.
Because we never say no when somebody asks us to participate in an event, or somebody needs a mobile training team, or somebody needs us to go participate in this joint exercise. We never say no. You have decreasing number of ships and units and the same commitments. And what happens? That's the op tempo. The op tempo is not. The op tempo is. And that's how tight it is. But so, and my point in saying
that's
that.
Okay.
My point in that, and so, I'm with you, Mike. My point in that is saying this, but don't misidentify the problem. Okay? You got to deal with that, and that is an issue. But ships bumping into each other, basic seamanship not being able to be done, it's the same thing as a Marine rifle battalion going into the defense and being going to, let's just say, 25% alert at night, and everybody being asleep and somebody walking up and killing a bunch of people and walking away. That's the exact same thing. It's not a training issue. It's a discipline issue, because anybody in the surface Navy will tell you there is no excuse, no matter what the level of operational tempo is, for those ships to do those things. And so when you see these things, you know, written about, you know, when you're talking about national security, what is it? It's that we have a politician sitting on with that targeting board. He's not an operator. He's not a military. Does he want to risk the political capital that's going to be associated with the fallout that comes with whacking this dude? Even though, again, I haven't seen the series. The series is called Road to 9/11, and there's three episodes. Mike's in the middle of the third episode, so I'm gonna try to watch some of it today, tonight, if you will. But again,
be
don't
careful,
because
it's gonna anger you.
That's good. Don't mistake the problems, though. Don't mistake the problems, and that's where it helps that we have a forum like this to talk about.
And it's like we've always said, Mac. It's anything you do in life, it's juggling, folks. You've got to learn to juggle. And you're only juggling two things, glass balls and rubber balls, right? So what that means is you can never drop a glass ball. Rubber balls, fine, drop them all the time.
Right, drop them all the time.
But you need to be smart enough to determine which ones in your life are the glass and which one are the rubber. Don't ever drop the glass balls.
Yeah. And you'll be okay.
You know, glass balls are family. Glass balls are jobs and careers. You know, important milestones. If you let it go, it's going to make a dent in your life. You know, those are glass type of things. And that's my point, is You know, when you're hunting terrorists, you would think that the first and foremost thing on your mind would be the safeguard of U.S. citizens. And people say, well, what about Ecuador? What about them? Who's looking after them? I don't give a shit.
Yeah, who cares?
Sorry. It's not about feelings, boys and girls. Do I feel bad? Sure. Okay. Then I'm over it. Okay. My concern is the United States of America. Call me whatever you want, but that's me.
American.
Okay. Yeah. Whoa. Don't. Hey.
American. American.
Hey, man. No name calling here. No identifying. No labeling.
Don't be. You know? Don't be.
What about sensitivity training?
Don't be hostile and abusive. American. Je suis.
Hey. Whoa.
Hey. Je suis American.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a Native American. Boom.
Yeah.
I'm never born anyplace else. I'm all here, right here, American.
Yeah,
Ireland,
crazy,
whatever. Come on, man. That's a joke. Mike Musselman, my guest this morning, we're talking about a series that he's been watching and The Road to 9/11 on the History Channel. So we're assigning that as homework, and we'll have another roundabout email. Mac, it would seem to me that whenever we get politicians involved in anything, we get a suboptimum output. The show today has been awesome. I loved listening to Bannon. He gave you some explanation for how the healthcare thing got listed as first and then totally punted in the stands. When I first heard you talking about doing away with political parties, I just chuckled and thought, whatever. Now you're absolutely right. What good are they doing the average man and woman in the United States? And one of the
they don't represent us.
One of the things that Bannon said when Trump got them all together after the tape came out about him grabbing pussies was double down. The people that support you, they don't care about that. Double down on the message. And Bannon was absolutely right. And at the start of the show today, Mac, you talked about the people that elected Barack Obama twice turn their back on Hillary Clinton, and then you listed her qualifications. Yeah, think about it. First lady, senator, secretary of state. Those are pretty powerful credentials for being elected, right? And then, the people that elect Barack Obama turn their back on her and vote for him? What? Yeah, Mike, do it. What?
You got to get that clip that's from the Dave Chappelle show. What?
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely positively crazy to think that.
Yeah.
So how much did the nation not care for Hillary Clinton, her message, and the way she did business? A lot. And Mike and I talked about it during the campaign because it was like, you know, this horrible thing came out of Trump's mouth. He tweeted this. He said this, right? The whole pussy thing, right? And he never got worse than 41-45 in the poll. Like, what? I don't. And then 2 weeks would go by, and they would be 44-43. It's like, wait a minute. How can this be? She should be annihilating him. Annihilating him.
Yeah.
But I never thought he would win. I never even.
Well, then you get all these people that come out and say, I never use that language, even when I'm in a club, in an all-male club, and even a locker room talking about things.
Exactly.
You're like, shut up. You are the biggest fucking liar.
I know.
Just did it on national TV.
I know.
Like,
I just want to be clear. I never use that language. I don't like it. Doesn't bother me when other people do, but I myself, I never talk like that.
Wait, you're saying that right now about you?
Yes.
Is this a joke?
No.
This is a joke?
No. Time for us to go to a break, all right?
Is this Mike McNamara?
We got to take a commercial break. We'll be right back. The Gunner.
And we'll return with Mike McNamara, not this imposter that's bullshitting us on
Whoa! Hey, hey, dial it down. You know how I feel about profanity?
No, you got to do this thing. What?
Hannah Montana said, what? All right,
You better take a break, because right now I'm confused who I'm talking to.
Shut up. We'll be right back. More of Armory Radio. Next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoffoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. He's not a fighter pilot, but you would think he was one. If you met him, you'd say, is that guy a fighter pilot? You'd be wrong, though. Michael Musselman.
Who are we talking about?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a fighter pilot.
Yeah, but you carry yourself like one. You walk in, and you're like, hey, who's that guy?
I think faster than a fighter pilot. I'm an SR-71 pilot.
I'm an SR-71 pilot with a laser on my helmet. With a laser on my helmet.
That's right.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. All right. What else on your mind today? Anything else?
Hey, Big Cat called me last night out of the blue.
McConnell. He's our buddy. He's one of our Naval Academy guys.
What he says to me?
What?
He goes, hey, you know, I go, hey, whenever you get to Texas, let me know. And let's link up. He's like, hey, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Texas. I go, yeah, where? He goes, El Paso. And I'm like, dude, that's like being in Reading and me and being in San Diego and saying, let's get together.
And you know, and he should know that because he is from California and it is a big state and you do know that.
Yeah. And you're like,
I'm in Ukaipa.
As far as Reading to San Diego.
Yeah. I'm in Ukaipa.
Yeah.
Come down, come up and see me. Ukaipa?
Yeah.
That's like, that's near Seattle, isn't it? Yeah. That is not happening. Wow. So, he's not.
And I would never go to El Paso.
Have you been to El Paso?
Yeah.
How would you describe El Paso?
Like a Tijuana with skyscrapers.
El Paso's a dump. It is a straight up dump. It's tucked in behind this mountain. What is it? Fort Bliss there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's old cavalry, old army cavalry post, down on the border. And,
they used to fight Mexicans down there, yeah?
It is a straight up dump. You do not want to go there. Thank God it's the army base down there. I went down there with getting ready for a joint task force mission, go looking for drugs with my company. And I was like, whoa, there is not much to this. There's not much to El Paso.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. So what else? Anything else exciting going on?
No. Just Thursday I got my doctor's appointment, so we'll see what's going on.
We'll see what the real deal is. The phantom heart attack that you like blurted out in front of God and everybody?
Phantom heart attack. I didn't have a heart attack.
Well, that's what you said.
No, they gave me nitroglycerin, which
normally is associated with a hangnail.
A heart issue.
Wow. All right. Whatever. You had some kind of heart event. And we're going to get to the bottom of that. And hey, have you had anything else come back from that?
No. Nope.
Wow. That's kind of weird, eh? Canadians say that, eh?
Yeah, eh?
Eh? Hold on, got an email for you. Mac, the gun has been fired up here recently. I haven't heard an update though on the women's shooting event, and I haven't heard an update on the election. So could he get on his job and let us know?
Okay. Well, the women's thing is they're getting better and better every time.
Are you still doing it? Still doing it every week?
Yeah, absolutely. Not every week. Every other week.
Every other week.
And then, this week, this coming next couple of days, I got two more, classes to teach two different, like, one is a sorority of women. And then, I got invited to teach this, to come to a sorority and give this class. And then another one I'm giving to a police department. So.
Ooh. Sounds like serious stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, let's see. The election thing is going strong. We got another election meeting this Friday evening. He's now got a candidate. He's got another person running against him who He's kind of weird, kind of shady, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
The Montana man is listening. He's not happy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's same thing I said. Like, who's this guy?
But can you imagine Trump? Somebody like Mike? Can you imagine either one of us telling us one of our stories in the colorful way that we tell them? And let me just tell you, Mike and I, we have grown up working with guys. Okay, I will tell you this: I don't like working with women. They make me nervous. I don't go out of my way to offend them, but I'm a guy. I've been told when I had civilian, that I was too cut and dried. I was too black and white. It's either this or that. And I didn't have a good sense of how to treat women, which I thought was bullshit. Cause when they came in and tried to run some bullshit game on me, I'd call bullshit on them. Like I would call bullshit on anybody, but I don't know that you're supposed to do that. So, but I don't like to work with women because you get all this other shit with women that you don't get with guys. I'm comfortable working with guys. Hey, shut up. Get out of here. Right? Guys are like, oh, okay. And they leave. You can't do that with women. They don't respond the same way. And even if you're not saying it, those words, it's just difficult. Right? It is just difficult. So I got called. What? Call me a liar. Yeah, denies cussing like a drunken sailor in Thailand. First of all, it would be a drunken marine in Thailand. And I've always cussed. I like cussing. Somebody asked me. I remember a woman calling my show in North Dakota. And I mean, over the air, you can't cuss, right? But I would use soft core profanity, hell and damn and things like that, crap on occasion. And she called up and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "I love your show, but you know, you use some profanity on your program that I really don't care for, and you seem like a bright man. Why do you do that? Because only people that are ignorant use profanity." And I said, "Ma'am, why do I use profanity?" I said, "Because I love to." I said, "I go to profanity like a baby goes to its mother's nipples." She started laughing. She said, "I knew calling was a bad idea." And I said, "No." I said, "I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you." I said, "I try to use it in more of a humorous way. I try not to use it when I'm angry, in this form anyway." And she said, "It's okay." She said, "I still like you." I said, "Thank you." And but yeah, I'm no stranger to profanity. And I like, and again, I don't know about Mike, but Mike kind of spent his career like I spent mine. I mean, you didn't work with women very often, did you?
No, not until I got to division.
Right. It's different. I mean, I remember the first time I was around an integrated unit that had women in it. I was the executive officer of the Marine Detachment on the USS Ranger, and we went up to shoot at Wilcox Range. Well, Mike, what's the range on the other side of Margarita, over by the where the recruits shoot?
God, I can't even remember. Like by Las Flores.
Right. Edson? Edson Range?
Edson Range, yeah. Yeah.
So we go up there to get the range brief, and so we get there early, have to drive up from San Diego. Marines are fired up because they're going to get away from the Navy, going to get to Mike did it. You're going to get to be around the Marine Corps again. You're fired up, you know. And back in the day, seagoing Marines, they were locked on dudes, man. They were good Marines. They were part of the PRP program. Guard nuclear weapons was pretty tight, and they were a pretty respectful, pretty tight group. So I don't know what I was doing, but I'd come from 1-5 before that, and I walk in, and and I asked somebody a question, and he's sitting with a couple female Marines, and the guy just looks up at me and doesn't get on his feet or anything like that to talk to me. He just starts, you know, he starts talking to me. Doesn't say sir. And one of my sergeants, like, he didn't know what to do because he had never, right? He hadn't served with women before. And so right. I thought, but you know, what I noticed was there was an element of cool that was in the air that was never in the air with guys, right? And you would yoke a guy up for that where there are no women around in a heartbeat. And so that was my first little experience with it. So I was never, I would tell you this, it's much more challenging, mixed gender units. When I went to MEF headquarters group, I was like, holy shit, man. This is what these guys deal with every day. I had no idea. And it's, we're the weirdos because we were in the all male part of the Marine Corps. And what? That's only like less than 20% now? I mean, what percentages are the grunts and, or were, what would you say, Mike? We're, I mean, it's the wing, all the support, you know, all the support MOSs, that's all, that's been gender integrated for a long time. It was just the grunts, but I don't know. I was never comfortable with it, so say what you want about me. All right, what's going on the rest of the day? What are you doing for lunch?
I smoked a brisket, so I'm going to have some brisket.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to go over and see Buck?
Tomorrow, maybe.
All right. So nothing going on today?
No, just still finishing some stuff up around the house.
Got it.
You know, as fall's coming upon, doing the...
All right. Yankees picked up the half game last night, just so you know.
I know, I saw that, yeah.
All right. Aaron Judge is starting to hit again.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, all right. That's right. We will see. Don't say it like that. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
All
right, brother.
All right, I'll talk to you. Michael Musselman here from the state of Texas. Mike Musselman out. All right. That's the big outro. All right, that'll do it on a... I had fun today. I don't have fun every day here. I have fun most days. My thanks to me for coming on today. My thanks to you for listening. My thanks for Steve Bannon. I'm sorry. My thanks to Steve Bannon. For doing the interview with Charlie Rose. Yeah. Thank you to him. That was awesome. And I'll tell you what, we will go ahead and hear the second part of his prosecution tomorrow, and then we will judge him. Okay? We will judge him, and All Marine Radio will take an official position on Steve Bannon. Is he a mix? Is he guilty of being a douchebag? Or is he innocent? And somebody that we should listen to. Or should I add another category? Interesting, somebody we should listen to and footnote. Because he's a media political guy. Or not. I'm curious now to learn more about Bannon. Final email. Sea Duty Marines. ROTC Cruise. July 1983, Westpac on the USS New Jersey. Holy shit, man. What a privilege that was. BB-62. Very impressive Mardet, who manned one of the six twin 5-inch gun turrets. Word is that they were the best turret on the ship. Yeah, Navy doesn't like to give that information out, though. Yeah, that was supposedly the best part of being on a battleship as a Mardet. You got the man a gun. Men's town. All right, that'll do it. So tomorrow, we're going to talk the UN sanctions. Okay, the only thing good about the UN sanctions is that now the UN at least did something of more substance. Okay, but we went down this road in Iraq too, and not like, you know, the UN weighing in scared anybody. It simply sways a little bit of the public opinion relative to Korea, as if anybody needed it. But China does. Now, here's one thing that I forgot to mention, and I'm guilty of it, so I apologize for not mentioning this earlier. But what was supposed to happen over the weekend? Yeah, there was a big independence celebration, and we were getting told... We were getting told that that there was going to be there was launch preparations getting done, and in conjunction with his Independence Day, that he was going to launch another ICBM. That didn't happen. Why not? One would think it should have happened, right? Big celebration. Let's fire this thing off. We'll see. We'll see. Can the Trump administration get the North Koreans to somehow or other negotiate, one, the end of the Korean War, and two, denuclearize the peninsula? And I've got an answer to an email I got a couple over the weekend. It said, and it talked about accepting North Korea as a nuclear power. The North Koreans, do you think once they develop it that they won't export it for cash? Do you believe that? So it's dangerous to them to own for reasons well beyond the fact that they would use it. And it would be curious that if somebody who hated Russia or China started to deal with North Korea and help them produce what they're producing, and either one of those nations got wind that they were that they might be on the target list. That might be a little bit more interesting. All right. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow's show. Grant Newsham going to come on. We'll talk about sanctions from the UN. Should we pay them any heed? And what are the footnotes we need to know about that? And then we'll listen to the overtime content of Steve Bannon. Have a great day. This program repeats itself momentarily. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.